The Jackie Capri Show.
And a happy new year to you all. I'm absolutely thrilled to have in the studio today as my first guest for 2014, Reuven Gershon, who plays John Lennon, and Peter John Jackson, who plays Paul McCartney in the highly successful West End production of Let It Be, which is currently on at the Savoy Theatre, but will end on February the 8th, prior to a 17-week UK tour.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Reuven, how does it feel to be on a hit show which showcases the Beatles' meteoric rise to fame and a spectacular concert which has been seen by over 400,000 people both here and abroad?
How does it feel? Feels great. It's a dream job. It's my dream job, I think. I've done lots of different kind of singing jobs and acting jobs, performing in plays and in different musicals and rock and roll musicals. But since I was a little boy, fantasy was to be John Lennon.
Really?
On stage in the West End. Kind of in the West End, which is what I'm doing. So that's my dream come true, really.
Well, I mean, when you think of it, apart from being the best-selling band in history, with estimated sales of over 1 billion units, the group received 7 Grammy Awards, 15 Ivor Novello Awards, and an Oscar.
Yeah.
They have more multi-platinum albums, more number one singles, and more number one albums than any other group.
Yeah.
They are the only act to have simultaneously held the top 5 positions on the US Billboard chart, and the only group to appear 5 times in the top 100 best-selling singles in the UK. And no other group appears more than twice. Well, how amazing is that?
Not a bad record.
No, it's not bad. They've broken all records. I mean, even just in the last decade or so, the album they brought out, One, the Beatles One, which was a collection of their number one singles, which came out in 2001 or something like
somewhere
that.
Around there, yeah.
I think that was the best-selling album of the noughties.
Really?
And the Beatles aren't even together, so they're amazing.
Absolutely amazing. Now, last Friday was the 50th anniversary of when the Beatles released their debut US album, which triggered their popularity in the States. And when your show, Let It Be, opened in 2012, it was the 50th anniversary of when their careers took off. That was good timing, wasn't it?
I think this whole decade coming up is going to be 50-year anniversaries.
Yeah, they're going to be popping up everywhere, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got... where are we? February's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the 9th of February is the 50th anniversary of the Ed Sullivan performance.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, broke records.
Yeah, broke records in America. Most watched TV program, I think, in America.
72 million watched it.
All right.
And 50,000 applied for tickets, and there were only 328 seats.
Right.
Yeah. And during that time, if you went on to any pop radio station, a Beatles record was being played every 4 minutes.
Right.
So that was really something,
yeah,
wasn't it?
It really was, yeah.
Now, as you say, you played John Lennon on stage. I don't know if you said mention that, but you played John Lennon on stage and screen on several occasions.
Yeah.
And you've also performed in the tribute band, the Bootleg Beatles and the Magic of the Beatles. So how does it feel to play such an iconic legend? I mean, what a responsibility.
It is a responsibility, I suppose, but it's because it's something that I've had such a passion for since I was a youngster, and I've sort of copied him, imitated him, you know, in front of the with a shower head and all that kind of thing.
As you do,
you know, when you're younger.
Yeah.
I feel it comes quite naturally, quite easy to do that. Maybe, I hope, and hopefully it comes across that way.
It does, and I think you really got it to a T. It was great.
Thank you.
It was fabulous, and you really got us all going.
Good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You must have read numerous books on the Beatles and watched endless footage.
Mm.
I mean, is that how you approach the role, through your knowledge and how the fact you've always wanted to play John Lennon?
Absolutely. I mean, like I say, all those read so many books and seen so many films just for leisure growing up. You just do it for leisure. You know, the anthologies came out at the end of the late 90s. You watched all of those. When any biography comes out, you try and read it, most of them anyway, not to get too obsessive. But otherwise, you just, you know, I do have other interests, but it's just so nice when there's so many great books about the Beatles, about John Lennon, you just can't resist it. You say, oh, that looks interesting.
Pop into
a bookshop, you find a little bit of information you didn't know before. All that is the research. So I'd already kind of done all that research already.
And it's quite addictive, really, when you're playing a character. Because you want to find out more and more, and then you find out more and more, and you bring it to the role.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which
it's never ending.
Never ending.
Yeah.
Now, you two are going to play live.
Yes.
So what are you going to do for me? And the listeners, of course.
What are we going to do?
What should we do?
Let's pick up our guitars and decide.
Let's have a look.
Well, you had a couple of requests, didn't you?
I did. Baby, will you drive my car?
Yes, drive my car. Why don't we let's start with an easy one, why not? Let's how much bass you got? That's great. Shall we?
Yep.
Right.
Asked the girl what she wanted to be. She said, baby, can't you see? I wanna be famous, a star of the screen, but you can do something in between. Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star. Baby, you can drive my car, and maybe I love you. I told that girl that my prospects look good. She said, baby, it's understood. Working for peanuts is all very fine, but I can show you a better time. Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star. Baby, you can drive my car, and maybe I love you. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah. Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star. Baby, you can drive my car, and maybe I love you. I told a girl I could start right away. She said, listen, babe, I got something to say. I got no car and it's breaking my heart, but I found a driver and that's a start. Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star. Baby, you can drive my car, and maybe I'll love you. Beep, 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 yeah. Beep, 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 yeah. Beep, 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 yeah. Beep, 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 yeah.
Oh, that was great. Absolutely fantastic.
That's all right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Now, Peter, you received your first guitar at the age of 6 and have been playing, singing and performing ever since.
Yep.
You signed your first record deal in 2006 and you spent the next 3 years recording and touring the UK and Europe. Mm-hmm. You moved into theatre and have played Eddie Cochran, Johnny Cash and Phil Everly, and like Reuven, have also performed in a tribute band, The Complete Beatles.
Yep.
As a lifelong Beatles fan, I understand that this is your dream job as well.
Mm-hmm, it is, certainly, yeah.
And can you tell us what happened at your first audition for the show?
Yeah, well, let me see. I came to the Savoy Theatre and our director, John Marr, took me to the music room and I auditioned for him with, I'd done Yesterday, Blackbird and Can't Buy Me Love and a few others. I think Get Back was in there as well. And yeah, I was very nervous, obviously, because this is a huge part for me.
Of course.
Paul McCartney is my hero, you know.
Yeah.
As are all the Beatles, really, but McCartney certainly for me, because I'm a bass player. yeah, so basically I went for the audition and John was very good at keeping me calm.
Well, that was good, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, it was handy.
It makes
yeah.
a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. I felt I'd done quite well, but you never know with anything like that.
Never.
And so I left the building, I felt pretty confident, but yeah, it was very nice to receive another phone call to come and try again, which I did, and that process went on over and over until finally I got the ultimate phone call, which was... congratulations, we'd like to offer you the part.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I went through the roof.
Did you celebrate?
I did, yeah. Good. I did indeed. I put some Beatles on, sat back and kicked back.
Perfect.
Now, I understand that as Paul, you had to play the guitar with your left hand and also learn to play the piano. That must have taken some hard work and practice.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm still in the process of learning left-handed. I've been sound checking left-handed now for the last couple of weeks. I'll be doing the same again because we're on tonight. So when I soundcheck tonight, I'll be doing it left-handed.
Yeah.
In preparation for Japan.
You're going to be left-handed in Japan?
I am, yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good on the left now. Oh, it's looking pretty good and sounding all right. So, yeah, but with regards to piano, I was average piano player. Chords, I thought I knew Hey Jude and I thought I knew Let It Be.
Yeah.
As standard piano is sit down and play the chords, but I didn't at all. I had to relearn the actual shapes and whatnot for those songs. Long and Winding Road is in the show, and to me, when I realised I had to play that song, it was quite a nerve-wracking thought, because there's intricate little parts in it. Yeah, so I had to completely learn all of that style of playing and try and then find a confidence in myself to play that in front of a sell-out audience at the Savoy Theatre.
Sure.
So yeah, that was quite a mountain to climb. But now I feel that that's one of my favourite songs to do now. I love the buzz of, right, here we go, get on that piano and let's play Long and Winding Road. What a great track to do.
Now, it looks to me like a grand piano on stage, but it has the sound of a harpsichord. I mean, is that actually a synthesiser?
It is a digital piano.
It's a digital, yeah. You can make whatever sound you like from it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a digital piano housed in a grand piano wooden case. But don't tell anybody, please. it has many sounds on it, because it has to go through the whole gamut of the...
Gamut.
Something like that. Of the Beatles' career, Beatles music. So there's all these different kind of piano sounds for each different song. So yeah, harpsichord is one of them. All You Need Is Love. And then regular pianos, odd sort of honky-tonk style pianos, organs, all sorts.
Yeah, all sorts. Yeah. If we had every single keyed instrument,
yeah.
we'd need a bigger theatre.
You'd need a whole orchestra, yeah. I suppose, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But the I recognise the harpsichord sound. It was one particular track where they call the fifth member of the cast played it.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure who he was or what he was at first, and then I realised.
What is he?
Well, he's known as the fifth member of the cast. At first I thought, is this meant to be a phantom figure? And he was playing, and then the tambourine and everything,
yeah.
And then I thought, that's what it is. And, of course, that reminded me of the harpsichord, and I can't remember the name of that track.
Well, there's a harpsichord in All You Need Is Love. But I don't know if that's one you're thinking.
No, it isn't.
Is it In My Life, maybe?
Something about There Are People.
Yes, In My Life.
In My Life. Yeah, it was lovely.
Yeah, he plays the piano solo.
Yeah, that's why I didn't ask you to do that, because you wouldn't be able to...
Especially as we haven't got a piano, it'd be especially difficult.
I know.
Regardless of the fact that neither of us can play it.
Good thing I didn't then, wasn't
yeah.
it? Right. Well, Peter, your choice, which is actually the original Beatles, is I Saw Her Standing There.
Yep.
Count it out, fellas. Baby.
One, two, three, five!
Oh, another one of my favourite tracks.
Fantastic.
Yeah, awesome.
What was interesting to me also was that prior to the show, film clips of news, television series and ads of that era were being shown along with the music during that time, so it set the scene in advance.
Yeah.
I love the fact that the show begins with the Beatles' last performance in the Cavern Club. I mean, what a great way to open the show like that.
Yeah, I think you've got to sort of, because the show's a timeline, you know, we're telling the story of the Beatles from their early humble beginnings until going through superstardom and ending up on the Apple rooftop. So, yeah, so you start off in the cavern because that's, it's kind of, you know, it's all controlled and before they exploded onto the world.
Enclosed, so, Yeah, with the smoky atmosphere, the darkness of it all, it kind of starts off in those humble beginnings, as you say, before lights up, awesome arenas and stadiums kind of thing. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's really good. Now, your next choice, Reuven, is The Word.
Yeah.
Any particular reason for this?
Yeah, it's just cool.
Oh, you like it.
It's a really cool song. It's just got a great funky rhythm to it. It's quite a funky little tune. They're all singing together. I love it when they sing together, three-part harmony. It's got some great lyrics. John's singing the lead, which is great. It's got a lovely intro. It just makes you want to dance, really.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll listen to this.
Let's do it.
I'm going to be really boring and say I love that too,
because yeah, it's amazing.
I just love everything they did and do.
Yeah.
Well, the surviving ones. Now, I understand there are three casts and you don't always play with the same cast members. That must bring a fresh element into it every time you perform with different musicians.
Keeps you on your toes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's great. That's really good, because when you're performing over and over again, as you have to in theatre, and you have to give a first-time performance every time.
Yeah, of course.
To the audience. So it makes it easier to do that. Yes. Not that it's a difficult thing because we love the music, but when you're up there and you go, oh, hi, we haven't played together for a week or 2 weeks, then it's like, oh, here we go, let's do this. And it's really good. Yeah. It keeps you on your toes. You keep everything's fresh. It's nice.
Yeah. Like me and Peter, we're playing tonight together, but we don't normally play together. So
no, we haven't played for a couple of weeks, maybe three.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be really good.
But it's always the same. I mean, because there's three different bands, three separate bands.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't matter who you're playing with, it's the same thing. We know exactly what we're doing. So.
Oh,
but everyone's
great.
Got their own little things that they do.
Yeah.
Different from somebody else, you know.
Sure.
Which is, which, as you say, keeps you on your toes. But it also, you can look forward to what somebody else does, something like this, and somebody does it like that. And it's always different. It's great.
Yeah.
Now, Reuven, what aspect of John Lennon did you enjoy playing the most? What I mean is, what period of his life?
Oh, it's so difficult. There's things I find in each period that I like, different things. I like the sort of mid-60s, kind of 65, 66, Shea Stadium kind of period, Revolver, Rubber Soul, all that kind of era, 65, Help, you know, around there. I like that period of him. I just like the way he looked in those days, and I like the music, the way the band was as well. You know, they were really together as a band and producing real, still ambitious. Of course, when they get a bit older and they lose a lot of their ambition, well, they don't really lose their ambition, but things change. They all grow a bit older.
Yeah,
there's different things to like about them. Like in the later period, I like wearing the white suit.
Oh yes,
you know, because that's so iconic.
Yes.
And singing things like Come Together and playing Get Back. You know, I love those songs. I love those later songs, Revolution. There's a song we don't do in the show, which I have performed many times live in bands, which is Don't Let Me Down, which is just to perform that song is amazing.
It's
such a really powerful love song.
Yeah. And are you two doing that today?
No, we don't do that in the show.
We don't do that, unfortunately.
No.
Maybe we will.
Yeah, maybe. You were telling me that Cilla Black came in to see you all during the interval.
What a wonderful
thing for her to do, actually.
She did. She came in the first on the press night in the Prince of Wales. She came in during the interval with Christopher Biggins.
Oh, lovely,
I just said, hello, Cilla, you haven't changed a bit.
She would have loved that.
I think she liked that.
She did, yeah. Oh, how lovely. And who else came in from that era?
Brian Wilson.
Oh, really?
From the Beach Boys.
Really?
Came to see the show.
Wonderful.
During the, you know, when it opened, and he really loved it.
Oh.
And he stood up at the end, and he apparently, don't quote me on this, but apparently one of the ushers spoke to him and said, what did you think, like, when Sergeant Pepper was on, he said, what did you think? He said, I thought I was having an acid flashback.
I
don't know whether he said that or not, but it sounds good.
Actually, I know exactly what he meant, actually.
Yeah, do you?
I do. I was thinking that myself, actually, when I was seeing all the strawberries and the, oh, the clothes, my God, you know, the Sergeant Pepper jackets, and oh my goodness.
But he was amazing, Brian Wilson, and we met him afterwards, and he didn't say very much. He just came up to everybody, shook hands, and went, good vibrations, good vibrations.
Oh.
Good vibrations.
Oh, that's great.
Well, he's a legend.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, that's fantastic having him come in and see the show and loving it so much.
Yeah.
As indeed, I mean, the night I went, I was talking to people and they were all saying how great it was. And there was an Argentinian couple sitting next to me and they were getting up and dancing and singing along with the rest of us.
Yeah.
And I think I sent you a text to say that John Stapleton with his wife, Lynn Ford's Wood, were in.
Yeah.
And they were dancing and singing. And I love to look at everybody, you see, and see. And I was asking them as I went to get the ice creams, what did you think? What did you think? It's great feedback.
Yeah,
I mean,
brilliant.
Absolutely lovely. Yeah. Now, I think we'll play another one of the Beatles tracks, Yesterday. And why have you chosen that one? Is that Peter's?
That
sorry,
is, yeah.
I'm getting confused now.
just because it's such a mammoth song. This song's been covered more times than any other song in the history of popular music.
Yeah.
And I think it's been covered 2,200 times.
Wow.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And just, it's an interesting story behind the song. Apparently, Paul McCartney woke up one day with this tune in his head and he thought that he'd ripped it off of somebody else. He'd heard it somewhere else. So he touted it around different friends, producers, publishers, and said, "What is this? Who's this?" And I don't know. I never heard it. It's good, but I've never heard it. So he kind of treated it as a lost and found, that if nobody claimed it within 2 weeks, he'd have it. And, yeah, and he did. The actual original title was Scrambled Eggs, you know.
I read that, and, yeah. And I think he sang it to Jane Asher, who he was living with at
yeah.
the time.
Scrambled Eggs, oh my baby, how I love your legs. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think he should have stayed with that lyric.
Yeah, yeah.
That's much better.
Definitely. Yeah.
Good yeah. fun.
Powerful.
Yeah.
strong lyric.
It's nothing like eggs for romance.
No. Did you know also that it was used as the original audition song for the original production of Hair?
Oh,
yes.
Really?
And when I auditioned for it, they didn't ask for that. I sang a song from Hair.
Right.
But when it was originally performed in the West End, they wanted everyone to sing Yesterday.
Right.
So there must have been a reason for it, maybe to do with its range, or I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Strange,
but, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, what a song, you know, it's fantastic. And it's the only song in the show where I'm completely on my own. Anything could go wrong, but if it does, it's gonna be me. So yes, it's a good one. Gets the heart pumping.
Okay, let's do that then.
It's a beautiful tune.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know. She I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely wonderful.
Fabulous.
Yes, absolutely fantastic.
George Martin's string arrangements.
Yeah.
And there's a bit in the string arrangement where you hear it going... because that's the first song that Paul McCartney performed without any of the other Beatles. And he went to George Martin and said, "I've got this song, you know, what do you think?" And George Martin said, "Well, Paul, it's not really a Beatles song. There's nothing else that the rest of the Beatles can do. So they didn't mind. They weren't like, "Oh, well, we must perform on it." They just let him perform it. And George Martin wrote, Paul McCartney recorded this himself singing and playing the acoustic guitar in the studio on his own.
Yes.
And George Martin put the string quartet on afterwards. And there's a little bit in the string quartet that Lennon loves, a little bluesy bit that goes, "I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday." Da, 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 da. It's a little thing that the string orchestral thing does. And Lennon loved that.
Aww.
He just said to Paul, "I love that bit." It's quite bluesy,
yeah.
Probably.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, beautiful.
I understand, Peter, that when the West End run finishes, you're going to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Russia's also been mentioned in the press release. But, I mean, Japan will be very exciting for you.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go to Japan. When I was in my early 20s, and I was in when I was an aspiring little rock and roller, you know, doing my own thing.
Yeah.
That was kind of, let's travel the world, guys. Let's go to America and let's go to Japan. And as as time went by and I then got into more theatre, that dream kind of was a little bit further away. I thought, oh, well, that probably won't happen going to Japan now because, you know, I want to go to the West End, you know, I want to do theatre, I want to do that kind of thing. And now it's come up. And yeah, so I'm over the moon.
It's great, isn't
it? Going to Tokyo for a week. We're at the Orb Theatre. And then after a week there, we tour right across, actually, north right down to the south. So we're going to see every little inch of Japan, which is going to be spectacular.
I'm so jealous.
never mind, your turn will come.
My turn will come.
Your turn will come.
I did Broadway, so...
Oh, God, yes.
I can't complain.
Yes, yes, we're going to talk about Broadway, because I know you did very well there. You had a great reception. You also went to Montreal, and you were given a wonderful apartment during those 2 months you were there in Broadway.
I was, yeah.
And didn't you have a view of the river?
The Hudson River.
The Hudson River.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Very nice.
Yeah. That's
it's like
wonderful.
Being in a Billy Joel song.
Oh, God. Do you know, I've heard everybody who's gone over there has been treated so well when they've done shows on Broadway.
It's fantastic.
So I've heard people are treated very well in Japan as well.
So I hope so, yeah.
Sure you'll have a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be
good. I've got to go back to that fifth member of the cast because I didn't even mention his name.
Yes.
Ryan Alex Farmery.
Well, he's one of them. There's actually there's more than one. There's Ryan. Oh. There's Michael Bramwell.
Michael Bramwell, yep.
There's Steve Gere.
Oh.
They alternate. You know,
I
just
see.
Like we alternate.
Of course,
they alternate as well.
Yeah. And you introduced him as your George Martin. Is
That's
that
right. Yeah.
Because of the arrangements, because George Martin did a lot of the arrangements.
Well, yeah, and also because usually when we introduce him, it's just before. In My Life, where he plays the piano solo that you were talking about earlier, the harpsichord sounding solo.
Yeah.
George Martin played that on the song. So we introduced him as George
Martin. I thought that was probably the reason.
And it's nice to give George Martin a bit of a mention as well.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, he was amazing, really. I think he was as influential with them as Brian Epstein in his own way, because, I mean, music is everything, isn't it? Apart from the fact they had a brilliant manager. And I wonder if it's true, that story, that Brian Epstein bought all those records to ensure they got into the top 20. I bet it was, you know.
Love me do. I don't think that's true at all.
You don't?
I don't, actually.
Really?
No, I don't. I think that, I mean, it was their first single, and they had a massive fan base in Liverpool, so that of course they wanted to get them in the charts, so probably a lot of people bought them.
Yeah.
I have heard that rumour, but whether it's true or maybe partially true, who knows?
I think a lot of those kind of rumours also spark from jealousy.
Yes.
Well,
and would have started that. It would have started in Liverpool with the local bands, everyone saying, oh, yeah, I know what's happened there. You know, he's gone and bought them. And then it becomes true.
I see what you're saying. But from the other side of the coin, I think that's great if you've got a manager who's got the money to spend on marketing the band, because, I mean, they do spend a lot of money these days on marketing bands.
Mm. Yeah.
And he did have the money. I don't think that's necessarily a negative thing, you know, to get people going right at the beginning.
He was so determined for them to succeed because he really, really believed in them.
Yeah,
from the very first moment he ever saw them in the cavern, the same day that he went to the guy he went to see them with, I can't remember his name now, Alistair Taylor, maybe?
Is it?
Anyway, but his assistant with him at the time, he just said, right, what do you think about me managing the Beatles? They're going to be bigger than Elvis. And that was the day he saw them. No question about it.
Yeah.
And it was lunchtime, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw him in the cavern at a lunchtime.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah. And I think he said to...
Maybe.
He said to him, what did you think of them?
Yeah.
He said, I thought they were diabolical, but absolutely magic.
Right. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
He would have done anything for them to succeed. And he tried so hard to get them a record deal and nobody was interested. And he kept going back down to London and trying to get them deals. And then he'd have to come back and tell them that it wasn't successful and he would dread it every time. And he got the opportunity with George Martin and he had to do everything he could to push them because he just knew what a huge, massive talent they had.
Oh, no, that's really great. And I just think, well, the whole thing, I mean, young people, old people, people of all ages know who the Beatles are and still love their music.
Yeah.
And it was lovely to watch all the different age groups when I went to see it. It was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
And another thing I found interesting, which I didn't know, you probably know this, that the round glasses that John Lennon wore was, did you know it was when after he played the character of the World War One veteran and How I Won the War?
How I Won the War.
He adopted the...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was when he wore them. He actually wore some round glasses in Help.
Oh, did
there's
he?
There's a scene in Help. There's a scene in Help when they all dress
up in
disguise.
I did see it, but I couldn't remember that.
Oh, it's just a very short scene, and he actually looks like he would look in about 5 years' time. He's got a big long beard on. He's got round glasses on. Which is hilarious, and Ringo also I think looks similar to how he would look later.
Yeah,
but yeah, he did How I Won the War, and he adopted the granny specs because he was so vain in the early days. He didn't want to wear his glasses on stage.
No, I don't blame him actually.
The glasses he had in those days were Buddy Holly style glasses because he loved Buddy Holly.
Yeah,
and but he wouldn't wear them on stage, so he was completely blind, and he would just look at the audience. People would think that he was looking down at them or looking hard, looking tough, but it wasn't. It was because he couldn't see.
Oh, well, I can relate to that. I've been told I ignore people in the street. Well, yes. I said, well, I'm thinking deeply, you know.
That's why people think he's a deep thinker.
Well, he was, of course, wasn't he?
He was as well.
He was. Let me see. I want to ask you some more questions, time-wise. You're going to sing live again. And we might be able to...
When are you going to play Savoy Truffle?
Oh, do you want me to play that? I could play it now if you like.
Go on.
Shall I play it now?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's do that. And why do you particularly like this one?
Again, this is a really... sort of. It's quite a rare track. It's from the White Album. And it's just a really cool George Harrison track. It's, again, I like things that have a bit of funk to them. Kind of, it's got a great rhythm to it. Some fantastic bass playing on it. Paul McCartney's bass playing. There's a lovely Rhodes at the beginning. That's really sort of Rhodesy. Just everything about it. And then it's just good. There's a dirty guitar solo in it. And there's some nice harmonies as well. Yeah, and it's a funny tongue-in-cheek song. You know, you'll have to have them all pulled out after the Savoy Truffle.
Oh,
and
right.
And the other reason I thought of choosing that one is because we're performing at the Savoy, everybody.
Oh, yes,
until
yes,
the 8th
of course.
Of February.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great. Okay, well, let's have this one then.
Spin it.
Cream tangerine, Montelimar. Ginger sling with a pineapple heart. We'll be right back.
Wow. Actually, I do remember this now, because I know where I was when this I first heard this album. I was performing in a theatre company in Bristol.
Oh,
and
really?
Everybody had the White Album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Each album brings back a different memory for me, where I was and what I was doing.
Yeah.
Right, now...
There's some great brass in that as well. You hear the brass, you know.
Yeah.
And reference to yesterday as well, I believe.
Is it?
Oh.
Is it?
Oh.
The reference to Obladi Blada.
Yeah, Obladi Blada.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And actually, during the psychedelic sequence, you were singing "She Loves You," yeah. That again came out. So yeah,
That was in "All You Need Is Love."
Yes.
That's where there's a reference to yesterday, definitely. They just sing that, you know, "Love is all you need, love is all you need, yesterday, love is all you need, she loves you, yay." They're just singing their own songs. And when I was playing in a Beatles tribute band before I was doing the show, I would just sing, like, I would go, "Day Tripper, yes it is." I would just sing any different song I fancied quoting.
Oh.
I don't do that in this show because it has to be exactly like the record.
No. Well, look, I tell you what, let's have, again, I'm looking at the time, let's have another one of your choices,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to sing something else live, aren't you? Mm. Yeah?
Okay, yeah.
And
how about "I've Got a Feeling"?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Lovely.
This is a love song, but it's it doesn't sound like a love song.
Is it a love song?
It is, yeah. It's about his first initial bits of... passion towards Linda.
Oh, right.
I've got a feeling deep inside. All these years I've been wandering around.
Yeah.
Wondering how come nobody told me.
It's like, it's funny because Lennon McCartney were always on the same parallel level of competition. It's like Lennon would write "Don't Let Me Down," which is for Yoko, and he would write "I've Got a Feeling" for Linda, and it's the same period, and both of them are really passionate, powerful songs.
Mm. Yeah, they are, yeah.
Oh.
It's amazing.
And also because this is probably... The middle section with McCartney, when he opens up and lets rip with that vocal, is my favourite vocal of all time ever. It's monstrous. Yeah. It's like Godzilla. It's great.
Well, here we go then.
Here we go. Let's have it.
I've got a feeling deep inside. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody pulled the socks up. Everybody put the foot down.
You mentioned his vocal, screaming vocal. The other bit I like when he's doing that song in, I think it's in the Let It Be film, and maybe on the record as well. You can hear the other thing he does with his vocal, which is what I call his beard voice.
Yeah,
he's really gets really like.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets really. I've got really. Like, yeah, yeah. I can't really do it, but
it's almost like Kermit the Frog.
Yeah,
the way he turns his vocal cords inside out.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
It's just
awesome,
like acrobatic. Yeah. His vocal cords are amazing.
Crazy, and again with on the same film when he goes into Besser Main Music.
Yeah, yeah.
Opera style.
Yeah, that's right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right, well, you guys, you're going to sing one more song live before you have to go.
If I Fell?
Why not?
We're going to sing a little bit of If I Fell.
We don't usually do this one, no. So this is going to be fun.
We've done this, we've practiced this specially for you.
Oh, thank you. Very nice.
And your listeners.
And our listeners.
If I fell in love with you, would you promise to be true and help me understand, 'cause I've been in love before, and I found that love was more than just holding hands. If I gave my heart to you, I must be sure from the very start that you would love me more than her. If I trust in you, oh please, don't run and hide. If I love you too, oh please, don't hurt my pride like her, 'cause I couldn't stand the pain. And I would be sad if our new love was in vain. So I hope you see that I would love to love you, and that she will cry when she learns we are two. 'Cause I couldn't stand the pain, and I would be sad if our new love was in vain. So I hope you see that I would love to love you, and that she will cry too, if I fell in love with you.
Oh, fantastic. Beautiful. Do you know what? This is one of my favourites as well.
Yes.
Is this from Rubber Soul?
No, it's from Hard Day's Night.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I love this so much.
Beautiful song.
Oh, well, look, thank you, guys. Thank you very much for coming on. I just wish it could have been longer.
Can you play another one of my favourites before
yes.
I go?
Yes. What please, would you like?
Please, please play I Feel Fine.
Yes. Fantastic. Why do you like this one so much?
It's just so, again, it's just so funky and cool, and the rhythm of it and the sound. That first you got, it starts off with that feedback guitar,
yes,
which is just just cool and great.
Yes.
And then you got the riff that comes in, which is just played on a really lovely creamy sound. It's got a really creamy sound to that riff.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
then
you got the rhythm that comes in, which is a sort of Latin-y type,
yeah,
type of rhythm.
On the ride.
Yeah. Which I think is very similar to What I Say by Ray Charles, which has a very, which is another song I love. Not by the Beatles, but that has the same, virtually the same drum pattern on it, which is just a really great kind of Latin drum pattern. And then you got John singing great with vocal. Then you got Paul and George joining in, lovely backing vocals, beautiful melody. I'm so glad she's a little girl. And just a little bit of history about that song.
Yes.
The riff it goes like this. That riff was influenced by a rhythm and blues song by a fella called Bobby Parker, which is a song called Watch Your Step. Right? Have you heard this song?
No.
Which is an amazing rhythm and blues song, and it goes like this. Play it better, hang on. So that's where he got the riff from. But he made it better because he just went. He went. He just put that bit in, which just makes it even better.
Absolutely amazing. Love it so much. Do you know what? We could have done the whole show with you guys singing live. What a shame. There'll be another opportunity, I'm sure.
There's always opportunities.
Do you know, when you're back in London, would you like to come back on and do something again?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what? Yeah. It's been so wonderful having you. And I wish you all the best for your UK tour.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And I wish you all the best for Japan and anything else you may be doing. Let me know whenever you're doing different things, will you? Because if you'd like to come back on, I'd love to have you two back on again.
Yeah, I would love to come back on, definitely. Be really good. Yeah, that'd be great.
So what I'm going to do now, whilst you're... I'm getting confused here. Can you? Right, so we'll play that.
Baby's good to me, you know she's happy as can be, you know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. Baby says she's mine, you know she tells me all the time, you know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. I'm so glad that she's my little girl. She's so glad she's telling all the world that her baby buys her things, you know. He buys her diamond rings, you know she said so. She's in love with me and I feel fine.
Yeah, just as you said.
Everything you wanted to.
Oh, just as you said. Well, what I'm going to do, whilst you're packing up, I'm going to go through the list of the listings of where you're going in the UK. I can't do that for Japan, but, anyone who might be listening, who might be going off to Japan, I'm sure they'll find... Do you know when you're going to Japan, actually?
1st of March.
Oh, really? Quite soon?
Yeah, very soon. We're going to be at the Orb Theatre.
The Orb Theatre.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I just want to say once again, listeners, that I had a fabulous time seeing that show. I sang and danced along with everyone else, and there was a fabulous atmosphere. Do book to see Let It Be at the Savoy Theatre London before it comes off on February the 8th. It is absolutely fantastic. The cast members are fab and the sets and costumes are terrific. The show is packed with more than 40 of the Beatles' greatest hits, including I Wanna Hold Your Hand, Hard Day's Night, Day Tripper, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, Strawberry Fields and many more. From the 28th of February to the 8th of March, it will be at the Palace Theatre Manchester, and after that for 1 week only in each venue, and the tour is going to the following places. It's going to the Princess Theatre Torquay, the New Alexandra Theatre Birmingham, Sunderland Empire... Sorry?
My hometown.
Oh, your hometown. Yeah. Of course it is, yes. Yeah. The Regent Theatre Stoke-on-Trent, Liverpool Empire Theatre, His Majesty's Theatre Aberdeen, King's Theatre Glasgow, Bristol Hippodrome, the Mayflower Theatre Southampton, New Theatre Cardiff, Royal and Durngate Theatre Northampton, Edinburgh Playhouse, Grand Opera House, Belfast, is this meant to be Bord Gay Energy Theatre? Oh, it's probably the way they spell it. Bord Gay Energy Theatre Dublin, it sounds like. Spelt B-O-R-D-G-A-I-S. Don't know. But anyway, that's where it's going. Lyceum Theatre Sheffield and the Cliffs Pavilion Southend. So it finishes on the 5th of July 2014. There may be some more dates after that. We don't know that, do we? Or is it actually finishing then?
Well, I think the tour's finishing then. What we're waiting to hear is whether it's going to go back in the West End.
Yeah, that's right.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be something.
Because they're looking for another theatre for it to go into.
Oh, really?
They're in negotiations, I think, with a couple of theatres.
So, well, you know, I think this show... Oh, a lot of us think this show's perfect, you know, for the West End. For London.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's the Beatles and it's...
Where else are you going to see the Beatles? You know, come to London, you've got to see the Beatles.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Savoy Theatre actually was just right for the amount of you in the cast at any one time.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And it's a lovely atmosphere in there.
Yeah.
It's really very good. So, I mean, if it does come back into town, would you do it again?
Definitely.
In town?
Absolutely.
And what about you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Would it be great? So that would be a good opportunity to have you on again, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. In celebration for our new theatre.
Yes. Kings
of our castle.
That's right.
Well, I might even be able to persuade you to do the full 2 hours if we make the time earlier.
Of course.
And then you can play live. You can play live throughout, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Although there'll probably be the cast album.
We could get George and Ringo in here as well.
Yeah.
That would be
absolutely,
fun.
Yeah.
That would be fun. But what about...
On the bongos.
That would be great. Yeah. That would be great. I wonder if that would be really good, wouldn't it? If we could do that.
That'd be lovely, yeah.
Yeah.
And by that time, the cast album will have come out as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there is a cast album coming out, yeah.
There is, yeah. It's been recorded. It's now in production and pressing and whatnot. So, should be very nice.
Yeah.
Well, I think what we'll do...
How about Free as a Bird?
I was going to say that.
Yes. One more. Yes.
Free as a Bird. And your reason for that is?
Well, it's like... the reason I chose, first of all, just going back to I Saw Her Standing There, was because it's the open... That 1, 2, 3, 4, and in it came. The opening to the Beatles. It's like counting in the Roman Empire, you know.
Sure.
1, 2, 3, 4, hello, here they are. And then, you know, the rest is history. Well, this to me was a closing chapter. To me personally, when I heard this, I felt very sad when I heard it. It's amazing what they've done to take... 1977, John demoed this song, just him and an acoustic, and Yoko gave the tapes over to Paul and George and Ringo, and they went back into the studio with George Martin, and Paul wrote a little bridge that fit in. It was almost like they were back together, at least, like, you know, for the day. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And they just pretended that when they got emotional, because he wasn't there, obviously, to record it, so they were just pretended that he'd just popped out of the studio for a half an hour, and he just said, well, you just finished that bit off, and that's how they dealt with him not being there.
Yeah. But very poignant, actually.
Yeah, definitely. And it's so, like, do you know what really gets me in this song is... George Harrison's slide guitar. It sounds like he is weeping for John.
Oh,
he's amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
So,
cross all emotional.
Yeah. Oh dear. Let's hear it now. Dear, not a dry eye in the house.
No.
It's gorgeous.
Oh, okay.
You mentioned something about the false ending before. You like the false ending?
Yeah, I mean, I was glad I was warned about it, because I'm always worried about talking over things. So if I hadn't, I probably would have started gabbing as soon as it finished. So Yeah. But I mean, because force endings are always a bit unnerving. It's happened to me before with force endings. Just when you think it's finishing, and suddenly, just as you're talking, it starts again. So
some DJs didn't care about anything like that.
Oh, I do. I'm very conscious of that, actually.
They would talk over the intro and talk over the entrance.
I can't stand
exit.
That.
I can't stand
it. It's always on my favourite bit. I'll go,
exactly.
Here's the bit coming up. Yeah. Wait
Shut
for that.
Up.
Wait, and then off they go. Oh, that was the zed. Do you mean it was?
Do you
They're
mind?
Still going. Let's hear
I don't want to push you out, but you've got to get your car.
Yeah, we have to get back and do a show.
So, got a show to go to.
But
we'd definitely love to come back, though, if you'll have us.
Yeah, of course I would. Yeah. In a flash.
Yeah.
But you will promise me that if we do it earlier, you'll give me more time.
Of course, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Because it's so lovely and, you know, so much music and you sing and play so beautifully. It's just fabulous. Really good.
Well, thanks very
much. Well, thanks very much for having us. Yeah, we've had a great time.
Well, keep in touch. Let me know what you're up to.
We'll do.
You know, because it's always interesting to know.
Okay. Thanks, Jackie. Very much.
Okay, then.
Cheers.
Okay. Well, thank you, listeners, once again, and I hope you'll join me again next week when I'll have another guest for you. Bye for now. Have a good week and a fantastic weekend.
The Jackie Capri Show.